Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith Driven, Grace Living Ministries. I would like to begin our message this evening by first saying Happy Easter to everyone. I would also like to begin by first giving us our title for the message. Our title for the message this evening is From the Grave to the Garden. Once again, the title of our message this evening is From the Grave to the Garden. There were no street lights. There were no headlights. Not even flashlights. There was just darkness and some women walking through a big city on the way, into some woods. Mary, the woman from Magdalene, she was probably asking herself one of those if-only questions. If only he hadn't come to Jerusalem during the time of trouble. If only the disciples had hidden him somewhere else. If only there wasn't all this turmoil going on in the empire right now. If only Peter had been able with his sword to fight. If only. Mary, she was probably trying in her mind to do what we all try to do it at some point or another. That's to reverse the past, to go backwards in the story. That's what some of us are doing today. You see, some of us, we have parts of our story that are horrifying. Maybe even parts, that only took just a second or a minute or a split tick on the clock. We're saying to ourselves, if only I hadn't gone to that party that night. If only I would have listened to my mentor and followed their directives. Or if only I would have told her I love you. Or if only I hadn't. Some of us, we have questions in our minds. We have an image of something that we would love to reverse, to erase. Some of us, we may not have had that moment yet, but we will. Because see, all of us, will one day find ourselves, hearing the whirring of machines around us, the beeping of monitors, the pulling of ventilators, and the rushing of cords. All of us will experience what we cannot imagine now. That's the primal fear of us slipping out into the night of death. I've heard that the moment before that happens, they say that your life flashed before your eyes. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, I know why. It's because, we are asking, can I turn it back? Can I reverse the course of this story? Every human being asks that question. Because, your little life and story and my little life and story is part of a much longer, a much older, a much bigger, and a much deeper story. Telling us, why the things around us just aren't right. The story in Genesis, the third chapter, is a story of something that wrecked. Something that went wrong in a garden at some point in history. A wreck that you and I, have then repeated in all of our lives. At this time, let us read our passage for the evening. Our passage this evening will be coming from John, the 20th chapter, verse 11 through 16. Again, John, the 20th chapter, verse 11 through 16, and it reads, But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, you're this woman named Mary at the tomb of Jesus. You know, she thinks that she is facing a personal crisis. You know, she thinks that it's a coincidence that she winds up in a garden. But scripture tells us, you know, that she is facing a, here, you're not just your a personal crisis. You know, she is facing your an ancient curse. You know, as this woman stands in this garden, you know, what she sees is God reversing the whole story of the universe. You know, let us now visit this garden. Now notice, first of all, you know, that in this garden, your God, your He is reversing the story of corruption. Scripture tells us, you know, that Mary, she goes into a garden that is also a graveyard. It says, you know, that Jesus, after He had been crucified, was taken down. You know, nobody wanted to take this body and haul it a long way. So, you know, they laid Him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb of a rich man in the garden. Now, you know, we tend to misunderstand this because, see, you know, when we think of a grave and a garden, you know, we think, you know, of cosmetic gardens that we have, you know, constructed for graveyards all around us, you know, memorial gardens, rolling meadow gardens, in which, you know, we have people coming through, you know, with weed eaters, making sure that everything is looking neat, clean, and stately. But, you know, this is not the kind of garden that Mary finds herself in. You know, the garden Mary is in, you know, it's really, you know, a working garden. I mean, it would have had, you know, vegetables growing, perhaps even grapes. Mary, you know, she walks into this garden, and she thinks that she is encountering a grave robbing. You know, she walks up, and sees that the stone has been rolled away. And she sees there your cloth that would have been used to wrap up a corpse. She would have had seen your the images there of corruption. And she wonders and she asks, where have they taken Him? Someone has come in and robbed the grave. Someone has taken the body of this man whose words I believe, this man that I left everything to follow, and His dead body has been taken. Y'all, she was wrong. You know, the text says, you know, that after Mary goes back and she speaks to the disciples, somebody has taken Him. You know, after they run back to the tomb and they see the fact that, you know, it is now empty. You know, the Bible says she looks and she sees angels sitting there in the grave that points her towards the garden. You know, Mary is seeing now, although she can't understand what is going on, you know, God, you know, He has taken that path that you and I are on towards corruption and turning it back. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that at the beginning point of history, in that other garden, when the woman ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, a curse came upon the universe in which their bodies were turning into dust, in which the world that they lived was falling apart and covered with thorns and thistles. You know, what the gospel of the resurrection tells us is that, you know, Jesus, he took that curse upon Himself. You know, those thorns that God said would appear on the ground, you know, they were crushed down upon His head. He, the King of all the universe, was taken down off the cross, purple and bloated, and drowned in His own blood with water pouring out of His side. You know, He was a dead body. He was the corpse. He was under the bondage of corruption and decay. And Mary, you know, she expected to find Him in that condition. You know, she was bringing with her, you know, some spices. You know, she was bringing, you know, some embalming stuff to try to keep Him preserved just a little longer. But she doesn't find Him there. She doesn't find, you know, the corruption of that first garden there. Instead, you know, she finds angels. Just as, you know, the angels were outside of the garden with a sword. Because remember when God said, I do not want my children who have turned themselves corrupt. I do not want them to eat of the tree of life and live that way forever and ever and ever without hope. You know, this angel speaks to the woman and says to the woman, go out into the garden. You know, he points her out of that grave. And as she runs out of that hole in the ground, you know, she runs into what she thinks is a stranger. Now notice, that also in this garden, God, he reverses the story of alienation. Mary, she's standing there in verse 11, outside of the grave. She thinks she's alone in the garden, and she's sobbing and crying. She thinks that her whole world has come to an end when someone speaks to her and says, "Why are you crying? Why are you upset? What's wrong?" The Bible tells us that she thought that this was a hired worker who was there, tilling the grounds. And she turns and she starts sobbing to him. Now she does not know who he is until he speaks her name. Part of what has happened to all of us is that when sin comes into our life, it alienates us from one another, and it alienates us from God. The story is told that in the very beginning, when the woman ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the man ate of the fruit, suddenly, they realized, that they were naked, and they started to hide from one another. The community they had was broken. The scripture tells us, that the cool of the day, God came to visit them. He would come and he would be there in the midst of the human beings. Now, when he came that day, after sin, after death had entered the world, scripture says that the man and the woman, they were hiding in the garden. So, that's when God calls their names. Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? In this garden, we find that these two shrink back. They don't want to see him. In this garden, at the tomb, something is different here. We find Jesus, he looks at this woman, Mary, and he calls her by name. Now, when she grabs him and starts crying, now the same way one would do if they thought their child had been in a car accident. Or if they thought, that their brother or sister, had been killed, and then they walk around the corner. I mean, you would grab that person and say, "I'm so glad you're all right." She starts to do it. But what does Jesus say? He speaks to her words. I mean, they are so magnificent, I can hardly even say them. Jesus said, "Go to your brothers and go to my brothers." Jesus, he walked into her story and into my story and into yours. I'm talking about the kind of fear and sin that keeps us hiding from one another and hiding from God. Jesus, he walks right out and turns it around. He reverses this story. Now, God, he also reverses the story of condemnation. When Mary grabs him and says, "Oh, Lord, I'm so glad you're okay. Oh, teacher, I'm so glad you're here. I saw them crucify you. I saw the nails. I saw the drowning. I saw all of that." Jesus, he said, "I have not ascended to my Father." Why did Jesus say this? He said this, because Jesus, he's not like you and I. Jesus, he doesn't have anything to hide. There are no blackmails against Jesus, who has perfectly kept all the laws of God. There is no break in the fellowship between Jesus and his Father. Jesus says, "Not only am I not hiding in the bushes," Jesus said, "I am walking right into the presence of God." The Bible says that the only ones, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord, you're the only ones, that God will allow into his presence, are the ones, that God will receive. They're the ones that are righteous. They're the ones you are like him. And God, he will show us who those people are. And he'll do it, by opening up their graves and bringing them out of the grave. On that Sunday morning before dawn, the roll was called up yonder. There was one name on that roll. Only one human being, was able to walk away from condemnation, walk away from the rule of death, and walk into the presence of his Father. You're every one of us under the sound of my voice. And we have been under that sentence of condemnation. And every one of us, you all have been hiding. And some of us still are. You're just as the first man and woman slowed their breathing down. And they steal their movements down, hoping you're that God would not notice them behind those leaves. You're some of us, we're doing that right now. Now, it's not you're behind the bushes, but it's behind you're the world that God has given to us. And many of y'all are living that life as though your God does not notice the rebellion that is there in our hearts. But the painful truth is that we are guilty, and we know we're guilty. And there are those who are going to accuse us. They're going to call us out of hiding, and they're going to point to us on that day of judgment, and they're going to say, of all these things are true. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus, he has already taken in that condemnation. Jesus has already taken all of that damnation upon himself. Every bit of hell that you deserve, and every bit of hell that I deserve. And Jesus, he so completely absorbed all of that, that he is able, to walk out of the grave and say, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Now, some of us, under the sound of my voice, we know what it's like to have that kind of confession that this Eastern woman had. When we trust Christ, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, when we believe with our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the reason that God calls us to believe that is not because when I believe that, I'm confessing that I don't deserve to be alive, and only he deserves to be alive and in the presence of the Father. The only hope that I have before God is that Jesus shed his blood for me, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. So the reason that we're asking God to count his death as our death, Father, count Christ's resurrection as our resurrection. We look and we see him, and we say, I want to follow him even through death and out to the other side. Lord, have mercy upon us. Any one of us who understands and knows and agrees that God, he's right about what he says is pitiful in our lives. Any one of us, we can cry out right where we are, no matter in the silence of our mind and hearts, Lord, let me share in the death of Jesus. Lord, let me share in the life of Jesus. And he will hear us. God reverses the story of condemnation. And finally, he reverses the story of deception. Jesus, he speaks to Mary. And what's really significant in this garden is that he is speaking to a woman. And he tells her that in the beginning of the story, the serpent came to the woman and deceived her. Now, the story also tells us that this woman, she used the relationship that she had with her husband in order to speak to him and to say to him, join me in this rebellion. God says, you listen to the serpent, and you listen to the voice of the woman, and both of you, all of you, are deceived. Jesus, he shows himself to her. I mean, all the lies that have been told to her. Jesus turned those things away, and Jesus shows her the truth. And then, he sends her to tell the truth. The word of God is like that. But Mary, she wasn't the only one who had been in that garden. The Bible tells us that there were soldiers who pulled the spikes out of the Lord's body. There were soldiers who went home and washed the blood from under their fingernails of Jesus of Nazareth, who washed the water that had spattered out of his abdomen onto their faces, who went and had supper and played with their children and grandchildren before going to bed. your scripture tells us that there were guards watching the tomb who saw the body come out of that hole in the ground. And he took a significant sum of money to say, it was all made up. What is a significant sum of money? The issue is that part of what the serpent holds us with right now is by binding our minds, to what is true and right in front of us. And some of us, we will be able to hear that proclamation of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe, we can all tell ourselves that somebody really did take the body. And maybe, there never really was a resurrection from the dead. Or maybe all of these cringing, fearful followers who were, still willing before the crucifixion to deny and to hide, would somehow, be willing to endure great hardship by simply saying the words, "We never actually saw him alive." And maybe we can say to ourselves that this is the case. But deep in our heart of hearts, we know the awful truth that if Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, then we will stand before him one day in judgment. The good news is that this same resurrected Christ, he's willing to stand for each of us in the presence of his Father, because he is reversing the story that we all want to live. Jesus reversed that big story of Adam, but he reversed Mary's story too. Mary, she's not a cutout figure in the Bible. Mary, she was involved in the occult. She lived a hard life. Scripture says when Jesus first met Mary, she had seven demons in her. She was the kind of woman that if she were at the point in her life to have walked into our present local congregation, we all would be scared of her. But Jesus, he knows her. Jesus loves her. Jesus redeemed her. And Jesus chose her to take that story to the disciples. "Go and tell my brothers," he said. And Mary went and took those stories to the men. And then he took it to other people who then took it to someone, who told it to me. And I'm telling it to you. He used this former demonized, occult, hopeless woman to save the world, through the message of the gospel. He reversed the story of deception. Some of us are still under the curse. There are hundreds of thousands of stories right in our great city. And certainly, there are really only two, though. One, is the one who walked, out of the grave into the garden. And the other is the one, who walked out of the garden into the grave. Now, some of us, we can go home, yes, and we can eat our dinner, and we can say to ourselves, it's nothing. But if we do that, please keep in mind, whose voice we're hearing. Now, others of us, we hear him, and he's calling us by name. And it doesn't matter, how terrible the story is that we've written for ourselves. It doesn't matter, how terrible the story is that we have enacted upon ourselves. He can reverse it, because, we cannot claw out of a grave by ourselves. And, we cannot come to this garden alone. So I say to each of us once again, happy Resurrection Day. And may God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.